This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening on this Friday. Back in 2007, before Elizabeth Warren was a senator with presidential candidate potential, she was an economist, giving PowerPoint presentations and making predictions in stuffy academic speeches.
I fear we're moving from a three-class society to a two-class society.
Professor Warren predicted that the middle class was vanishing in America, a prediction that was all about numbers, but also about a feeling.
Help me, I'm poor.
You know that, right? You saw that movie. Part of why Kristen Wiig's little aside in Bridesmaids getting kicked out of a first-class airline seat is so funny is because it feels like the malaise in the middle class right now.
She can have my seat, okay? Everyone should experience first class at least once in their lives, and Annie shouldn't miss out just because she can't afford it.
No, ma'am, I'm afraid that's not allowed.
Help me, I'm poor.
No.
Help me, I'm poor, a pop culture joke that reflects a feeling that a miserable class is growing in America. But solid economic data says that the technical middle class is shrinking, and America's increasingly consisting of a small but growing class of massively rich and very well off, and then...
The rest is just one long trail of underclass that stays on a constant debt treadmill. Sometimes it's a little more, sometimes it's a little less, but never out of debt. Never any real economic security. I could change my metaphors. People who are just constantly living on the edge of a cliff.
Where legitimate or not, people are quietly shouting into the void as their credit cards are declined, they get turned down for loans, they fall into foreclosure or lose a job, lose their health, lose their future, and plead,
help me, I'm poor.
It's not funny anymore when you look at it that way.
Hi, I'm Laura Miller from Alameda, California. I once felt I was middle class. I took it for granted. I owned a condo, was a registered nurse, and my daughter was going to a decent college. Then I had to walk away from the condo after I retired. And now I am renting, and I really have to watch my pennies. I'm sure I would now be labeled, at best, lower middle class.
Hi, this is Claire. I'm a single mother of five, living in Brielle, New Jersey. Before divorce, I lived an upper middle class life. How eye-opening it is to now exist below the poverty line. All the red tape involved to determine eligibility for social services, choosing not to go to the emergency room, since that is the only option when you're uninsured. The quote-unquote haves mostly are clueless as to what it's like to be a have-not. I know this because I've been in both worlds.
From St. Paul, Minnesota, like many Americans, I still struggle to make ends meet and maintain the lifestyle I'm accustomed to. However, I'm a master's degreed social worker with a single income of over $65,000 a year. The latest data from the Pew Research Center confirmed that the middle class is now less than a majority in the U.S. for the first time. While the number of people in poverty is growing, and the better-off households defined by Pew as earning more than $125,000 a year, or twice the median income, now make up more than 20% of the U.S. population. The Financial Times sees this as a huge moment for America's sense of self, and they explored these numbers in stories of people and places around the country in a new series. Sean Donnan covers international economics for the Financial Times and is one of the lead reporters on the paper's new series, America's Middle Class Meltdown.
We're seeing a real divergence in American society. And what's interesting about these numbers that have come out from the Pew Research Center and that we've built our series around is that really this is the broadest measure in terms of income of the American middle class out there. This goes from two-thirds of median income in America today for a household of three people to 200%, twice median income. And that's a huge range in terms of income, $41,000 or so a year to $125,000 plus a year. So you're capturing a huge segment of the American labor force, and yet that's less than a majority now in the American economy.
The middle class used to be, I'm not rich, but I'm doing just fine. And that was the sort of role in American society that the middle class played. Now we're looking at a large group that certainly doesn't feel rich and absolutely doesn't feel like they're doing okay and really lives in a feeling of economic menace. Is that a fair sort of characterization of the psychological shift here before we get into the numbers?
So that's definitely one side of the story. So there's the side of the story that is actually, there's a lot of Americans who are a lot more comfortable than they used to be. And that's been a slow process over 40 plus years. The numbers go back to 1971. There are now 50 million American adults living in households earning more than $125,000 a year. That's a pretty comfortable place to be. The other side of the story, is exactly what you've described, which is that sort of tenuous hold on that comfortable middle class existence. And there are people slipping out down the bottom. And that gets into a lot of what we're seeing in politics around America today.
So in the lowest income, what do your data show there?
So basically, you need to think of half of America, or just under half of America, sitting in the middle. And then really, you've got one-fifth of America living on less than $31,000 a year, half of them below the poverty line. And then you have the fifth at the top. And that lower end has continued to grow since 1971. In 1971, it was 16% of the population. In 2015, it's 20% of the population. And it has gone up since the crisis in 2008, which clearly has played a big role in this and making everyone feel a lot more fragile.
You divide middle income into lower middle and middle. What do those numbers mean, and why do you make the difference at about 42,000?
So that's a distinction that the Pew Research Center makes. And basically, there is the middle, which is using that measure of median income going from two-thirds to twice middle income. And that's sort of designed to kind of capture that kind of comfortable middle. But then there is that what they call the lower middle, which is those people who are between $31,000 and $41,000 a year. Again, that's for a household of three. In a lot of America, that's not a very comfortable place to be. So I think it's they're not poor, but these are clearly the people who are at risk in an economic crisis. What was really interesting about the reporting for the series was getting out there and really asking that question: what does it feel like to be middle class in America today? And what you discover is that often how positive you're feeling about the economy doesn't necessarily correlate with just how much money you're making. It depends a lot on what you're seeing around you. So I had a really interesting experience in Seymour, Indiana. Met a young woman called Amber Barnard. She's 37 years old. She's a mother of three. She works on a factory floor for Cummins. She's a slight woman, but she makes great big diesel engines. She's had that job for 11 years, and she's this kind of counterintuitive story of American manufacturing. She's managed to hang on. She was the most effusive person I met, and I met dozens in traveling around America, in kind of her current economic state. She says, hey, look, it used to be really tough here in Seymour, Indiana during the crisis. People were losing jobs, houses were being foreclosed, but now things are looking really good. And yet, actually, you can talk to people who are further up the income scale. And I was talking to scientists in Atlanta and architects, and I was in Eden, North Carolina. You really find people feeling a lot more vulnerable. I think that's a lot of that has to do with the nature of the labor market today. You know, none of us is convinced that we're going to be in the job that we're in. We're going to have the same security that our parents did. If you're in my generation, or if you're further up, or if you're older, that you may have had 20 or 30 years ago, you're not going to work for one company for your entire life. And any measure of job security just makes you feel a little bit better.
These numbers show a huge sociological shift. At the time that the middle class, as we know it in America, was created, elderly people were among the worst off in the United States. That situation has completely reversed. The elderly are now among the best off, and there's a sense in the middle, or as I like to say, miserable class, who feel they'll never get to the state that the 65s are in. That says a lot about your ability to plan for the future, your sense of charitable giving. That has all kinds of repercussions in the economy. How do you see it?
Yeah, so and I think there's something counterintuitive here. So you got to remember, what we're measuring and what these numbers measure is income. You've got to be working and you've got to be deriving an income. If you're retired, you in some ways don't show up in these figures. So the fact that older people are hanging on in the workforce longer could be a result of lifestyle choices. It could be a result of economic realities. I mean, one of the people we met in our reporting was a woman called Evie Osterman in Florida, who's an office manager. And she's 75 years old, and she's still working. And she says she's happy. She's a happy member of the middle class. But the truth is, she actually needs to be working to maintain the lifestyle that she has become used to. And at 75, I don't think many of us expect to be working anymore. But that might be the future that we have.
Have these data reinforced a sense of racial disparity in the United States, as well as the income inequality that's a campaign issue in 2016?
Yeah. So on the race side, look, between 1971 and 2015, the American middle class has become less white than it used to be. It was 80% white in 1971. The next biggest ethnic group was Hispanics on 11%. You found 7% of the middle class was black. Those numbers have improved, but they probably haven't improved as much as many of us would have thought. Today, the American middle class is 67% white, 15% Hispanic, 11% black. The big winners have in terms of really surging in the middle class, have been Asian Americans, who now make up 6% of the American middle class. It doesn't take you long when you get that out there on the road to interrogate these numbers and look at the reality on the ground and to realize that to be black in America today is not as easy as being white in America today, and that the opportunities to enter the middle class, if I grow up in a predominantly African American neighborhood, just aren't the same as they are if I grow up in an affluent white suburb.
Finally, Elizabeth Warren predicted that the decline of the comfort of the middle class would mean that the middle class would have less of an appetite to give to the poor, that there would be less of an income transfer coming from the middle class to the poor, and that would bear directly on the sense of alarm and the growth of poverty in America. Do you see that?
That's a really, really interesting question. I mean, I do wonder sometimes when we look at the debate now about the state of the middle class, whether what we're missing is that actually the really vulnerable in America are having a much tougher time than they used to. The support mechanisms just aren't there in the same way that they were before welfare reforms in the 1990s. America is a tougher place to be poor today than it was 20 years ago.
Economic data, political rhetoric, a moment of real pause in these numbers. Sean Donnan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Sean Donnan covers international economics for the Financial Times. He's one of the lead reporters on the paper's new series, America's Middle Class Meltdown.
Hi, I'm Aaron Boise. I'm calling from Portland, Oregon. I think middle income is disappearing, and the only way we're going to get it back is government has to stop overspending overseas. And the fat cats in Washington, D.C. need to cut their salaries back, too.
Hi, this is Jeff from San Jose, California. Yeah, definitely in the middle class now. 4 years ago, left a cozy digital media gig with a great Silicon Valley life, including a BMW rocket ship. Now I drive an older Toyota Tacoma, have about $50,000 in student loan debt and $30,000 in credit card debt. Very, very happy here with our three daughters, and it's just different stuff.
We always want to hear from you. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE, and you can read more about those middle-class numbers from the Pew Research Center at thetakeaway.org.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.